I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love.
And love to hate.
All things fashion. Fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Oh, hello, Hags. Three of us, Hags in the basement.
Yes, there's three of us here and more of you out there.
Usually it's been four, but this time it's just the three of us again. We're back to
just us.
Regular scheduled programming. I might sound a little bit weird. I have a really fucking annoying summer cold that just
the worst.
Fucking snuck up on me the other day. So if I sound like my head is sort of floating above me like a balloon style, that's what's happening.
That's why.
So I'm sorry. If there's if I have to get up and leave the room to sneeze 45 times, I'm sorry. That might happen.
Thank you in advance.
Sorry, everybody.
How are things? It's nice to see everyone. It's we've had a really hectic couple of
we've had a lot.
Days, if not weeks.
Yep.
For sure.
Months.
Yeah, we've got
for some of us.
For some of us, yeah. Yeah, we're back just the three of us. We don't have a guest this week. We're just thinking it was the first, like, of the last 10 episodes or so, I think six or seven of them.
Yeah.
We had a guest.
I had guests. So,
which has been awesome.
Yeah.
But it's nice to kind of get back to basics and shoot the shit like we do.
It's what we do.
It is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What's been going on with you?
Well, I cut up a t-shirt.
I was trying. Actually, I had my eye on it.
I was like, what have I done? I'm on a vacation. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
But it was well, vacation. It was a trip.
To the desert.
To the desert. I didn't know we had a desert here in British Columbia where we live, but we totally do. A place called Osoyoos, which is super fun to say and even funner to spell because it's got a bunch of O's and Y's.
It's great. There's more O's than any other letter.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And it's like the fruit capital of Canada, where like all the best fruit comes from. So there's been a lot of fruit happening in our house, which is great.
It's like there's like a berry stand every 40 yards on the
highway. Yes, exactly. Peaches, berries, apricots.
Corn. Oh, corn
so
on the top.
Corn, so other vegetables. So we ate a lot of those. Had maybe the best raspberries of my life.
Oh, dang.
And that's saying something because I love raspberries. But it was great. It was a giant family vacation with eight adults and seven kids. No, eight kids. Nope. There was 15 of us. There was a bunch of us. There was a bunch of kids and a bunch of grown-ups.
So it wasn't so much a vacation.
No, that's why I say it's a trip. It's not a vacation. Yeah. There was a couple two-hour, you know, stints where I got to, like, get some alone time, which was nice.
Right.
By the grown-up pool where there's no kids allowed. And the margaritas flow.
God, that's a smart idea.
Great idea.
Those resorts to do.
Yeah, two pools. It's going to be worth the money. So that was fun. But yeah, like I said, I've told you guys, it was like boring and exhausting and lovely all at the same time. Because we woke up, went to the pool, went back for a nap, had dinner. Woke up, went to the pool, had a nap, had dinner every day. And it was great. But then I came home and Dave gave me an old t-shirt and I cut it up. And normally when I cut up t-shirts, I fuck them up.
No, this one looks
actually
awesome.
It's like a men's crew neck t-shirt in this lovely blue color that Dave didn't want for some reason. The fit or something changed. And I cut the sleeves shorter and I cut the little neckline and I put it on. I was like, holy shit. I didn't fuck it up.
I nailed
normally,
it.
Like one snippet, I'm like, oh, yep, can't fix that.
You're like, well, I guess this is shorter than I thought it was going to be.
This is rag now.
Yeah.
This is a fancy, fancy rag.
Great, $30 rag. Cool.
One stupid snip. But I did. It's a lovely blue t-shirt. I forget the branding, but it's like a lovely indigo color. But it's
that's
a men's
nice.
T-shirt, and I just cut the neck hole off because it was really like high neck. You know, like that one sweatshirt I have that I send you pictures of once in a while? Like ridiculously.
The red one? No.
No, it's like it's an old one that Evan got at his vintage store he used to work at. It says Sweden in Swedish on it.
Oh,
it's like a super cheesy...
Like tourist sweater?
Tourist sweater, but it has the highest, smallest neck hole on a sweatshirt I've ever seen. And I keep meaning to cut it, but then chickening out because I fucked up so many shirts that way.
Right.
And I really like this sweatshirt, but I keep meaning to like cut the sleeves off and change it a little bit because it's like an XL or something. Like it's a big one. But the graphic on it, it's like two cross Swedish flags and it says Sverige in it. But anyway... I was very proud of myself yesterday when I didn't fuck it up.
It looks very on trend right now.
Oh, thank you. I also cut the hem off a pair of jeans, so now it's like cool frayed hem jeans.
Oh.
Which is super on trend now, and I didn't have to buy a pair of jeans without a hem. I just, because part
tap,
of me,
tap.
Well, that's it. Like, I can't, I find it very hard to like spend money on the pre-distressed things.
On an unfinished product?
You know?
Yeah.
Or an already pre-torn?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I can't do it. I can't do it.
I have been known to like make holes in my jeans. Like, I have one of those like, it's like a sweater stone, or it's like sandpaper where you can like comb a sweater with it. And I've done that on my, like the knees of my jeans, like just rubbed it a little bit until it's just a little bit worn through, and then let it
then
get its
wash
own
it
hole.
Once,
exactly. So I've done that. And then I saw this pair of, and they're already a cropped little pair of jeans, and I wear them all the time. And I was like, well, fuck, if I just cut off the like 3/8 of a hem on the bottom.
Right.
And just, and then I just did a line of stitching on the bottom so they don't fray. I don't get like
passed.
Robinson Crusoe pants on me after like five trips in the washing machine. But I'm like, could be on trend.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you got fringe hanging out the bottom of your pants. Like, this has got to go.
This is not this what, not I, what planned. I planned. I made a big mistake. I made a huge mistake. So that's me. Very exciting stuff.
Well, I made stuff too.
I was going to say, let's do Katie next, because Evan is going to be the crux of the show. So we'll do him last, because his catching up will also kind of be the subject of this show.
Yeah.
So let's, what's up with you, Catherine?
Well, leading into what we're talking about,
I guess Evan. It does segue naturally, doesn't it?
I needed a red dress, as I mentioned on our last episode, and maybe the episode before that too. But I needed a red dress for this very important event that we just attended. And I went to, I don't know how many, maybe a dozen stores.
Oof.
Red is not in season right now.
Yeah.
There is nothing red. There's no like nice reds. There was like kind of a corally pinky kind of, like, no. That's
no. I got
nothing.
A super orangey one, but that wasn't much. Like, you like red.
I want a good solid red.
Yeah.
But I had found this really nice raw silk fabric at this fabric store downtown.
Mm. And it's the silk that has all like the little lumps and bumps and imperfections.
Yeah, it
in
looks
it.
Almost like a, it's like a nice cotton or a linen, kind of a raw muslin-y kind of, but it's super fucking nice.
But not
shiny. No, it's like a matte. It's like a not shiny. It's really nice. Like, it looks quite, what's the word?
Looks very luxurious and,
but like really like, I don't know the word. It's not fun. It's not fancy. It doesn't feel like a fancy fabric.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's not like a shiny. It's a nice. Anyway, it's silk. It's fucking gorgeous. It's my favorite. Anyway, I found this gorgeous red. It's like this nice sort of rich.
True red.
Red. Yeah, really nice.
But like a blue-based red.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
and
really nice.
And I have this shirt at home that is like kind of a wider t-shirt with, it's all, it's just two pieces. There's no sleeve.
Mm.
Or there's no separate sleeve piece, I should say.
Yeah.
It's sort of a t-shirt dress with a v-neck. So I made an actual proper pattern. Like, I it's been years since I've made
you
a
didn't just lay the shirt down and just cut around,
just
around
it weirdly, essentially.
Yeah.
I made a proper pattern with like
straight lines and stuff?
Straight lines and
what?
Gray lines. And I didn't just like guess. I was like, no, like the hem is always like, that's close enough, whatever. I'll just measure 8 inches from whatever the next seam is. It's good enough. No, I made like a proper hem and like a facing. Like, I made a proper facing.
Ooh,
for
so the neckline
for the
is
neckline.
All nice and flat.
And it turned out so great. And I totally fell in love with this dress that I then now have since made two more.
And probably took you like under 2 hours to make?
I had to make a few mistakes, obviously, as you do. But no, it didn't take that long. And I don't have a serger, so I did French seams even on the inside. So it's like, I haven't done a French seam since fucking fashion school.
That's when you like sew the raw edges of the fabric into itself. You like,
yeah, I do
you
wrong
sew
sides
it once
together.
And then,
yeah, wrong sides together.
Sew it.
Flip it over. Turn it over, press it, and then right sides together. So the seam is like encased.
All wrapped in itself.
And like, it's like a nice,
it's fancy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call that the clean finish on
it
the inside.
It is a very clean finish.
There's no threads. Anyway, so I was quite happy with myself on that. And a nice facing. So there's no separate neckline piece. It's just like a top stitch where the neckline goes around. I made a really nice V. The V is
your
the
V is,
hardest.
I can never do it.
And
right.
The most stressful part.
You can never do it.
So I
but
made,
it was flawless.
I've made two more since. I found this really cool, like, yellowy, flowery fabric that's sort of a mustardy yellow with these nice, like, bright black and white poppies on it. So I made one.
It's like a lawn or something. Like it's a lightweight.
Yeah. It's a tencel, the fabric. Yeah.
So it's lighter than like a broadcloth or like a regular cotton, like a quilting cotton or something. Yeah. But
and then I also had
to it.
Yeah. I also had a bunch of leftover fabric from the fabric that I made my pants out of, those blue navy.
If y'all remember back in the episode of Pressure, where she made those super awesome pants.
Yeah. Same fabric, so it's a cotton sateen with a little bit of stretch. So it's a way boxier looking.
A different fit.
But. Yeah, like the fabric is so different than either of the other two fabrics. And so it's quite different, but it still looks like
it's great. Hella chic.
It looks fucking dope as shit. So I couldn't stop. I had to go buy more fabric. Make another one. And then, okay, stop. Enough now.
For now. Give yourself a break.
I actually come back also, to it. Before I even got the pattern finished, I made a proper like muslin out of an old bed sheet that I had. So now I've been wearing that.
Sure, it's your house dress or whatever.
Nightgown.
Nice.
Lovely. I've ordered a nice, like a fancy nightgown for like a house dress. But until that arrives, I've been wearing this old dumb bed sheet that's so comfortable.
Dumb bed sheets are soft.
Yeah.
They get the job done.
Yeah. So yeah,
and I want her to make some knit ones too because it would look real nice as a knit.
Yeah,
that's the next thing is my friend just got a serger. Oh, and you have a serger too, so I'll have to bring the pattern over here and get some nice knits and make it.
Yes, yeah, just do it up.
That's so nice. So yeah, I got my old sewing machine out. It felt really nice to get some garments put
together.
Get
your scissors out.
Yeah,
It was good to get back in behind the sewing machine. I was doing a little bit of sewing today, and I was like, it's so nice to have something where you're like, I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
As opposed to there's so many other things where I'm just like muddling just my way through
it.
Or just figuring it out or asking for a bunch of help or like doing it all and then being like, is this okay? No? Okay, start again. Or like all of the parenting things where you're literally just fumbling all the time. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the sewing stuff, I'm like, I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
I know how this works.
Yeah, it does feel nice.
Something fucked up. Oh, my serger came like unlooped or something. And I was like, I know how to fix this. And I fixed it immediately on the first try.
Oh, amazing. I love that feeling. I know, like having the proper pattern and like, oh, I made the pattern properly.
So you can just fucking sew it together?
I can just make three more today if I want to.
You don't have to like fuck it up and then fix it and then refix it.
Yep.
After you discovered the mistakes you should have foreseen.
Yeah.
If you'd just done the pattern right the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Do it right the first time.
Just do it right the first time. I know.
Do it right the first time. It's simple.
I mean, actually, so the dress that I made, the red dress, you'll see on our Instagram, and I'll put another picture up, but from the Vancouver Indigenous Fashion Week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is our subject for today.
Mr. Ducharme.
Yes. We're just going to talk about Evan's show that happened last Friday. Friday?
Yes, Friday. Yes.
Whatever day it is, who knows?
We had Jolene on
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And she told us all about getting it organized and prepped and the whole shebang leading up to it. Mm-hmm. So now we're doing a post-op debrief.
Yeah.
Now that it's over.
Now, because we couldn't talk too much about your show. It wasn't.
You didn't want to talk about it. And we didn't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't done yet.
We hadn't seen anything.
Yeah. So now we can talk about it. So tell us. Yeah. Tell us everything.
What was your week like coming up to it?
It was pretty crazy. A lot of the clothes were done already.
I was gonna say you'd done some good planning ahead this time.
A lot of the clothes were done already.
That was a huge weight off.
But right? As always, there was still a lot of things to be finished up. I still went to bed at 5:30
the night before
my show.
Mm-hmm. You can only do so much beforehand. You know, you either need the pressure of the deadline or you just can't do it until you fit it on the model or until this last thing comes through or the shoes have arrived or whatever, right?
Yeah, like I had like 4 hours of hems and pant hems and like sleeves and all that shit to do.
That's tedious, but if it's wrong.
Yeah, I did my last fitting the day.
Fucks it up.
I did my last fitting the day before the show, so. There was a lot of things like that to be done.
Also, you have a full-time job.
I do.
Yeah, there's also that.
But I took a week off, the week of the show off.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So I think that really helped us out in getting everything done properly.
Yeah. And not making it such a crazy headache. The day of it would have been it can easily turn into a complete nightmare.
You can prepare as much as you want for the day of, but then the day happens and there's always something.
Always something.
And there were several things.
Yeah.
Several things happened the day of the show. My brother woke up with food poisoning. My brother was modeling for me.
Oh, right. Oh,
Justin.
Yeah.
The worst.
So he was just like trying to maintain a human existence all day.
Just even a shell.
Human-ish.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a shell of a human being, but I'm here. Yeah.
All we need is your shell. It's great.
Exactly. That's all we need.
All we need is your shell. Today. I don't need your brain.
We don't need you to talk.
I don't need, no.
If you can walk and look stern, then it's fine.
Look serious, go for it.
Perfect.
I was going to make a horrible joke about losing weight right before the show. But I won't make that joke.
Thanks.
I won't make it.
I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight. It's a Devil Wears Prada quote for y'all. Yeah, but I was really nervous cutting up to the show because I've done shows for so long, like just like within the industry, the regular fashion industry. And then after the first couple of seasons, you really stop caring what people think.
You get jaded and yeah. You know.
And I think I talked about it a little last time, like I became a little disillusioned with the fashion industry.
Well, you've done them like with Fashion Weeks and you've also done them independently, alone, you know, and with other people and like, you know.
And various sponsors, which can get weird. And
yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, we've always had really great sponsors and never anything weird with that. But having to plan all of that,
Yes, on top of making the clothes.
Yeah. And that was always a lot.
And it's not just that, too. It's like talking to media and planning for media and talking mm-hmm. to...
What is our media strategy? What are our talking points? Like,
what are your...
Social media. All that
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. Your pamphlet, whatever, your handout at the show.
Yeah, that was amazing. That's something we can get into. But where were we? I'm still so, brain dead the last couple of days. I'm trying to keep it together.
You're spent. You took the week off. You got some stuff to do.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we get to the show. Everything's great. I had fitted everyone. And then I realized that my showtime was not at the showtime that we had planned it to be at. So one of the models wasn't going to be able to be in the show because it was a tight schedule. So we had to recast
him. Model short.
Thankfully, this same model was also in another show. So it's not like he showed up for nothing, which is great. I felt horrible. And then they're like, oh, no, he's already been put in another show. So I was like, okay.
Okay, good.
He still gets to talk. He still gets to walk. And then we recast him with another model that was there that day. And it all worked out.
Yeah, it was seamless.
I was going to say, from the audience, you could not tell.
Exactly. And that's why we're all, it's like the duck on the water. Like sure. The audience sees the duck calm on
walking
top.
Walking confidently
under the water, everyone's
and slowly.
Screaming and running and, and being extra and being crazy.
Feet are fluttering.
Oh, yes.
No. Putting out fires.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning up stains.
There was that stain. There was a red lip that was originally on one model. And I vetoed the red lip and I was just like, absolutely not. It needs to be removed right now. So he goes to get it. He gets it removed, but he'd already been dressed. And I was like, okay, I'm sure they're not going to be crazy. And like, they'll be cautious. No makeup artist dropped like a spoolie of red lipstick on the front of my white
floor length
skirt, like literally right on, like right at the front hem.
Fuck.
Oops.
It's like fine. Tight to go. And then we had like 20 minutes till the show started. Tight to go. And then we started tight to going in, and it just started to bleed. And then it was just too much. And then we just let it dry a little bit. And I had bought hem tape in case we had some things to. It's basically just like fusing, but it's like a little strip of fusing, and it's like the same. You can get it in all these different colors so that it matches the color of the fabric. And luckily I had like this beige, and then we held it up to the fabric. It's like, okay, maybe this will work. And we put it on and you couldn't tell. Like,
so it went right over top of it?
It went right over top of the stain. You guys didn't notice the stain.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So it worked. Yeah. But I was
thinking on the fly.
That was it. That was like, this. It had to happen.
This is the thing.
Like,
you've
always
had a fuck
something.
Up with the model. There's always somebody brings the wrong shoes. They're wearing the wrong underwear. They don't show up entire. Like, there's always something
with
the models.
We had one girl always. Didn't show up at all. But then thankfully I got to have another girl who I've worked with before who I wanted in my show anyway.
To so that worked
fill
out.
Her spot. And that was great.
And then the guy who couldn't make it.
Yeah. And then
this fucking red lipstick debacle.
The red lipstick And I get it, like all the other designers wanted red lipstick and I was the first one, so I just I conceded to the red lipstick. I didn't want red lipstick at all in my show. And then all of my models, I had 17 looks, so almost every model was in the shows right after mine. So I was like, okay, fine.
Well, we're just going to do it. Okay, sure. Compromise.
Yeah. I mean, it works with the finale gown, our red dress. So
And it worked with the theme of the event. Yeah, exactly. It was a red dress event. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've done a red lip in the past, so it's not like it's a
totally
out of nowhere for our branding. So,
It looked great.
Oh, it looked fabulous. Yeah, and then I walk and I didn't know what the hair and makeup were going to be until I walked in, and they were like, "Okay, it's going to be center part, sleek behind the ear, straight." I was like, "Fabulous!" Like
that could not be better.
Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what I have in mind. Natural hair. And then they were like, "Oh yeah, and we're just going to do." They didn't even say anything about the red lip, and then all of a sudden I came back from getting me and Ashley. From our first podcast guest, we went back to our apartment to get ready because for some reason we didn't bring our clothes with us to change in our hectic morning.
He had a million other things to bring,
all that stuff. So we had to run back, change, and then we got back there and like all these people were in red lips and I was just like, oh, okay. But then they had put some, they'd taken some liberties and put, there was some male identifying persons who were wearing the red, like wearing like an androgynous outfit, and they said to put red lipstick on them. And I was like, that's not gonna fly.
Yeah.
So red lips gone. And it's like the shade of red on those particular models, it just didn't work. So it's just like, this needs to go. But like, I think maybe we should probably talk about the theme and going and all
of
those things.
Absolutely. And how your shows fit into it.
Because I would say that as far as I can tell, this was your best show yet. It was certainly my favorite.
Agreed.
That you've done. It was spectacular. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was my favorite show too.
But models, venue, designs, music,
styling,
everything was on point.
Everything was on point. The feeling of it was really on point. The execution, the sort of techniques that you employed in certain garments that had never been done before.
Or a more refined version of other, you know, or rethought versions of things. And
It was the best I've seen you do.
And also, like, you're doing a show with other people. Also, you fitting in with the other people on the show. Because sometimes, like, if you're in a fashion week and you get put in a night with, like, silkscreen t-shirts and you're making evening gowns, too fucking bad.
Yeah.
You are both scheduled for Thursday night and you're following a bunch of fucking t-shirts in your evening gowns that take 100 hours to make.
Yeah.
And that's just how it works.
Like they
and
really,
that was not the case this time.
Absolutely not. Like I think everything that night was very high concept, which was, it was so amazing to be in the company of other indigenous designers, which never happens.
They were on that level.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, that was fashion-y, but also
indigenous.
Culturally relevant,
exactly.
You know? It's not like super traditional stuff or like homespun stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of
everything
the stuff
was elevated. Everything was awesome.
The stuff that was more closer to like the regalia, in the sort of more traditional sense of the word regalia, was so fucking beautiful. It felt
the button blankets and everything, and
like you could tell the amount of work that went into them and like the pride and the sort of cultural significance behind those,
and the designs and the images
were amazing.
And
there was some fucking cool shit going down that runway for sure. But anyway, sorry, go on. We were talking about the whole theme of the event.
I want to talk about people other than Evan for a little bit longer, please.
we will discuss the people. I went to the second day of shows too, and I'd like to talk about those designers as well.
Sure.
Yeah, please.
But let's get back,
because Abby and I only went to the
we only saw yours.
Yeah.
I couldn't go four nights.
No.
Oh God, I would have loved to have gone, but I like those two days leading,
especially
up to the
two
show,
days before yours. Fuck like, no, you're not going.
I don't think I showered for like 2 days before the show.
Oh, easily.
And then I got to the venue and I was like, I didn't bring my change of clothes and I smell like a dirty sock. I need to go home.
I need to remedy these.
Yeah, I need to go. And I thought I'd get back in time to like sit in the chair and get a little zhuzh, so I didn't like do anything. And I walk in, they're like, oh no, like
you gotta go.
Yeah. Get like first looks, buddy. And I was just like, oh great, I get to go on the catwalk with dry lips and like no like big black circles under my eyes, looking like a damn zombie.
You look like a fashion
designer. And air dried hair. Oh, it was cute.
It's appropriate. It's your natural hair.
Yeah.
But yes, let's get back to the whole your concept and how it fits into the bigger show.
Yes.
You always find the coolest words, like the names for your shows, things that nobody's ever even heard of. It's amazing.
They usually just find me. Like I was reading for this season. I found this word. It wasn't even this word in particular. It was the term like atavistic fears.
Okay.
I was reading an article. It was an interview with Wes Anderson.
Interesting.
And how he likes to like tap into those atavistic fears of people in his work. It's like those things that like every human being is afraid of. And it's like atavism, which was the name of the collection. It was called Atavism. It's a term in biology that is used to describe like a genetic trait that you inherit from your ancestors. And they usually manifest themselves as a means of survival. So it's like why human beings, like your eye, like your eyes, like your vision adjusts in dark light. Because
you need to be able to see.
Like an ancestral being, when there was like low light situations at night or no electrical lighting, you'd have to shift your vision to have better vision. Or that's why we have like canine teeth, because we had to like tear through meat. Like Neanderthals had to they didn't have like utensils and stuff. So it's like things like that. But then there's this other like sociological atavism where it's like an old way of thinking can re-emerge in social patterns. And most of the times these like atavisms have like a negative connotation.
I was gonna say all this shit that's happening in America. Sorry,
that's no offense, America. Yeah, like white supremacy and all those things. And it's almost I tried to take like a decolonial approach to that term, because science usually like the scientific world and the academic world and anthropological world, they usually look down upon indigenous communities as a source of like historical relevance or scientific relevance, when recently in different archaeological studies, they've found that indigenous folklore and spoken word history, like it actually correlates to things that are being discovered in archaeology. So like the Coast Salish people, they all have a myth about a great flood. And then I think it was maybe the 70s, they found that there was a huge...
Some evidence of...
They've discovered the fault line across the Pacific Northwest, in the Pacific coast.
Well, even things like the Franklin expedition up in the Arctic.
Up north, yeah.
And for the middle of the 1800s? Middle of the
1700s? 1800s, yeah.
Like 250 years ago.
250 years ago.
Yeah.
So for 250 years, the Inuit people have been like, over there, this spot... this location, they're like, whatever, yeah. And then when they actually found the boat maybe a year and a half ago.
That's where it was.
And that's what the Inuit have been saying for 250 years. They're like, yeah, we fucking told you. We've been telling
the whole
you for
time.
250 years. Yeah.
There's such a good quote from an article. There's a lawyer who was representing the Inuit, I think it's the government of the Northwest Territories. She's an indigenous rights lawyer, and she's representing them in their case against the government of Canada and the British government, because basically the Canadian government and the British government are fighting each other over who owns this boat and owns like the rights to the like any sort of treasure
or salvage rights, or who can put it in a museum and make money off of it, basically. Yeah.
Right.
And the Inuit, when they signed their treaty to create Nunavut, newest territory. Their treaty says that they own the rights to any archaeological artifacts that are found
on their territory. So including this thing.
Including that boat.
Huh.
So the Inuit and the people of Nunavut, they own by proxy of their treaty. So she's this amazing lawyer. She said that in that interview, she's like, they thought that their society was more intelligent, and that was their undoing.
Yes, totally.
And that's happened so many times. So,
well, that's basically the definition of colonialism.
Oh yes,
pretty much.
But like, just look. I've said before, I do not have a college education, and I really like to try and take a intellectual approach to my work. I think it makes it a bit more interesting. And I've always been a heavy reader growing up, and I mean, there's a lot of fashion designers out there who don't really try and take a different approach to their work. And I think if I'm going to be talking about my indigenous background, then I should try and correlate my work to what is happening and trying to educate people about what's happening to Indigenous people now in the world, as opposed to treating it as if it's a forgotten people or an extinct people, like most fashion designers do when they take
or worse
and appropriate their work.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or just purely superficial.
Yeah, like just like a surface level.
Yeah, yeah.
So I discovered that word atavism, and it really kind of hit me with this idea that Indigenous peoples, like willingly or unwillingly, you inherit these survival tactics or these mechanisms from your ancestors as a means of survival, whether you want them or not. Like you are very distrusting of people, or you tend to not want to leave your homeland because you feel safer there. And that's like, that's something that you inherit, and these things that you learn over a period of time that your parents have learned because of colonialism, because of oppression and all of these things. And the collection really just started to take this turn towards like workwear and this idea of utilitarianism, which is something I've always really explored in my work. But that, and jumping off of what we did last season with Origin, I think that was a good continuation to link those two collections together.
And but, take it to the next level.
And take it to the next level.
Because I was going to say, this was a much more refined, and yeah. This is, yeah, this was a next, like a few steps up.
Oh, yeah. Like a million steps up. A million. Like let's not mince words. By the end of the week, when things were really starting to pick up and like all the clothes
come
were
together.
Getting ready and they were on the rail, like yeah. I was looking through them. Like V came over a couple of times, former guest V, who's such an amazing confidant and creative
cheerleader
and like
whipcracker.
Exactly. She, yeah. Like sometimes she'd be like, "Are you sure you want to do it that way?" She's like, "I don't know how you could do it differently, but I really just
I don't
think
know
that
if
it
that's
should look
the one."
Bit.
She's your Tim Gunn.
Literally. Yeah. She might make it work. Yeah.
Also, by the way, V, if you're listening, you did a
fucking
kick-ass
job. V, you're awesome. Yeah.
You fucking killed it.
In like 4-inch heels.
I know, and you look like a badass motherfucker doing it.
I was saying that her brows just got more severe every day that passed by. Like they just needed to be a bit more intimidating.
Yeah. Totally appropriate.
It was, so
it was
good.
Great. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but like as things like started to come together at the end, we just started to realize, okay, that last season didn't exist. Like
Clean slate.
It's been a year of us trying, like, personally, it's been me trying to redeem myself after last season because
sure,
I really feel
back,
like I mishandled the moment and the opportunity presented itself and I didn't meet it all the way. I met it maybe like 3/4 of the way.
Sure, right. You had some...
A little bit more than half.
Slipping through your fingers
a
little
and
bit.
I was,
sure.
I was in a very fuddled mind space and a lot of like family issues and personal issues that just kind of took my mind away from the work, which is... something that should never happen.
But this time.
But this time.
You live and you learn and you bounce back and
exactly.
You do better, right?
As people would say, like, the creator taught me a lesson so that I never
And you listened. Exactly. You listen.
So what was your favorite look? Do you have a favorite look? I mean, how could you
possibly?
Pick
one. I love all of them for a different reason. And that is a rare... I've never loved everything. Like, maybe since my grad collection, I haven't loved everything I made in a show before.
Sure. Well, your grad collection was 3 looks.
Exactly.
This was
17.
17.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was our biggest show to date as well. I think I planned for 20 looks. And then as the show went on, it was like, okay, we don't really need that look. That's kind of like the same thing, but just a different styling that we can
sure.
do in a lookbook.
Or something you were look. Saying, like you can push 20 and have them all be at 95%.
Yeah.
Or you could have 17 and all be at 110%.
Exactly. And like that, like a couple of days before the show, we had this one look that we really wanted to do. And it kind of would have added one of the elements of the collection was the quilting. So we only had
sure.
one element. We only had one piece in the show that had the quilting, and that was the scarf. But we were going to do another quilted jacket, just like a shorter, like a bomber version of it. But with the time left, I was just like, okay, like, no. Like,
is this going to... make it better.
I could make this outfit and it would, I'd be forcing it and it might not turn out the way I want it and we'll have taking away
time
of finishing everything else.
Yeah.
Or we can cut that look and then make sure everything that we have started already is finished perfectly. And I think we made the right decision.
And that, the quilting, like that particular look was unique and I don't think
it was nice that there was only one.
I kind of like that there was only one. And I was like, oh, like, what was that? Like, that was what? That
weird wrap scarf thing. Shit. That was great.
Yeah, it was neat. It was neat that there was only one and it fit. It still fit really well with the rest of the pieces, mm-hmm. like really nicely.
And we'll be sure to get you guys some pictures.
Don't yes.
yes. Yes.
Don't you worry.
As of recording, I'm still waiting for them back. So I'm waiting.
Sure, that's fine. I'm sure they have a bunch
like
of,
biting my fingernails.
Yeah.
We'll get them to you as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like speaking of like all of the techniques that we used this season, I don't know if I to our knowledge, no one's ever done embroidery like this before.
I've never seen
no.
that.
It was like athletic mesh with...
It's literally athletic mesh, the same mesh we've
flesh
used colored, for seasons.
Flesh mesh.
Flesh mesh.
One of my favorite fabric terms.
Flesh mesh. Oh, yeah. So it's like a...
It's very big.
It's
not
very
big, but like...
It's like a sports mesh. It's like something that a jersey would be made out of, but it's...
You know, quite, like men's bathing suits, like the inside underwear yeah. part, like that.
But it's like
but
a
not,
more cottony feel.
Yeah. It's not super synthetic.
Yeah,
that part where you put your dick in your bathing suit, that.
We made some gorgeous tops out of that fabric.
That weird saggy thing inside your old bathing suit, that.
That part that you tear out when it starts to stretch because it feels really weird in there. Yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, so I just one day I was thinking I really want to do kind of an embroidery type thing because embroidery was like becoming really big and like in high fashion and also like street style as well, like little embroidered bits on t-shirts and
you,
stuff.
And you, there is also that.
And also there's just
the
weaving
and the weaving
and the weaving of the Macy
pattern
sash
and yeah.
And like the chevron patterns and thing and stuff like that. So I just had this brainwave one day of like taking the threads, like a cotton thread that you use to make a Métis sash and weaving it through there. And I had no idea what it was going to turn out like. Like I thought, oh fuck, like we're going to have to cut each piece that there's a row of dots right down the center front. So each side is going to be even and all this stuff. And then the more I did that for the first one, I painstakingly cut it. And then I cut the second one in a rush and it didn't change a thing because the dots are so small, even if it's like a little bit to the left or a little bit
right.
to the right of center front, you're never going to notice. It's
yeah. sure.
Like visually, it's just not going to make a difference. So thankfully, like we've figured that out and we don't need to cut them out so painstakingly anymore and take that extra
That's
time.
That's good to know.
Sorry.
You got to learn what you fudge, what you can fudge and what you don't, what you can't fudge.
Yeah.
You know, you got to,
yeah.
Sometimes it's trial and error.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's luck.
Oh, yeah. And there was a lot of luck with that, with those embroidered things. Those pieces were probably the most time consuming.
Yeah,
even
I
longer
bet.
Than the evening wear, honestly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The first one I did, it took me probably like 3 days to figure out what pattern I wanted. And then that one ended up looking quite different from the rest of the ones in the collection. Everything else turned out to be pretty like mirror image and like very symmetric. And then the first one was a bit more asymmetric and that was a bit more freehand. And like once I did that first one, I really started to realize like the kind of patterns that I could make within this kind of like lattice
yeah.
shaped mm-hmm. thing. And like different little techniques of like having the threads come out and like draping down a bit or having them like overlap
or something.
And
yeah.
all these different
and the beads on the end.
Oh, and the beads.
It turned out so cool. And yeah, well,
there was how many
pictures.
Looks? Four? Five?
With the
looks?
Embroidery?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be five, but then we cut that one, that last one.
And one was black and three were flesh?
No, there was a white one.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
a white t-shirt. It was like a white, blue, slate blue and gray color palette. And then there was the black one with
white.
Natural and white. It was two different shades of white.
Okay.
You can't really tell unless you look up close. And then the other one
the
was
the
beige
yeah.
with black and white. And then the dress was beige with black and white as well.
Fantastic.
Right, the dress, yeah.
The dress was really fun.
Yeah, the dress
oh,
was
it looked amazing.
We'll post pics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was really fun because Lindsay Willier was the model who opened the show and I've known about her forever since seeing her on Canada's Next Top Model and being obsessed with her. Like, oh, this like native girl is like doing so well on Canada's Next Top Model. And it was like so insane to meet her and it was a privilege to have her in the show and she's so cool and
yeah, she did an unreal job.
Oh, it was like when I was doing the fittings and she wasn't at the fittings because she had auditions that day. And Jolene told me, oh, like, Lindsay is available. Like, you should really consider having her in the show. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can she, like, okay, come to the house for a fitting?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
let's make this happen. Yes.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. I, like, I will completely, like, make this happen. Like, yeah. I will be home all next week. And thankfully, she, like, when she came over, like, she fit the dress and it was so amazing. And
awesome.
Yeah. It was, like, dream situation. Yeah. Then, other than the embroidery, we did a print. We created, like, what we're calling the census print.
Yeah. This is a pretty amazing piece that
outstanding.
You've done
here. My friend Maddie fell in love with me. She's like, what is that? She spotted it from, like, two floors up. She's like, what is that?
Yeah, like, it was, I created the print and I ordered the fabric kind of on a whim. We weren't going to sure if we were going to use it. We just wanted to see what it was going to print out like, because the file is so old. And I got it through Ancestry.com when I was doing my genealogy. And I found a census form from 1916 from my hometown in St. Ambrose, where my mother's grandfather, so my maternal great-grandfather, him and most of the people in the town were, under their racial or tribal origin, they were listed as French. And then French was scratched out and Indian was wrote on top of it. So it's just this like really blatant...
Erasure.
Well, it's not even erasure. It's just the confusion over what Métis people were.
Right.
Yeah.
It's are you Native or are you French?
Yeah.
Are
right.
you
There's European? No in between.
You're neither.
Yeah. And this was in
19... And both.
Yeah.
And this was how, I guess this is a little over 100 years ago.
Yeah. Let me do the math.
1916? Yeah.
I can do that math. Yeah,
math.
Yeah. That
so math, like, I can within do. Like within the last century, there was still this like displacement of Métis people and
they didn't know what to do with
lack
them.
Of recognition yeah. for them and it wasn't until like the late 2000s when Métis people were recognized as Indigenous its through own, the Indian Act.
Yeah, but still their own thing.
Yeah, and a distinct Indigenous community and population within. Indigenous communities in Canada.
Because all these names are French.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Lavallée, Flamand, Tremblay, Ducharme.
Fenton.
Yeah.
I think there's Lamarond on there as well.
Oh, that's the one I'm looking at. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, it turned we'll out so pictures, cool.
So you did like, it's a reverse,
like a mirror.
It's like a mirror image.
Yeah. But it's also, is it a negative? Yeah, it's a negative.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's white on writing black, yeah. on a black background as opposed to white. Background in black.
Yeah, because the original was like it's like
a white paper
with it's been scanned. It's like a white with black writing, and then I just fucked with it in Photoshop and
flipped it. You put it down, flipped it, and reversed
flipped
it.
Flipped it and reversed it.
Yeah. Took a cue from our girl Missy.
Yeah, and it's like then like the edges were all kind of like
it almost like, looks like a microfiche.
Yeah,
you know.
It like it and almost like ink blots too. Like it,
yeah,
it turned out
middle,
that they're
because like an X-ray kind
of. Yeah, like yeah. there was maybe like crinkles on the edge of the paper or something. Yeah. And then when we changed that into a negative and then we mirrored it, it created these weird kind of like insect and like
yeah, weird Rorschach.
Yeah, looking things that like were just so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, then, it turned out amazing.
And then the way that we decided to cut everything too, we like laid the print certain ways on the body.
I was going to say, the way that it fit the bomber jacket with the white line at the bottom yeah. and the, oh man, it just looked like it was on purpose.
Oh yeah. And it worked out because the pattern was like, I had to use 1 meter to cut the jacket and the corset, which we have here in front of us. And I was like, okay, shit, what are we going to do? This jacket is probably like a good 6 inches longer. And then, of course, it's going to end up being like a little
boost.
It's going to end up being like a little,
yeah,
like
a little bikini top.
Bikini top, pretty much. And that's not going to fly. So then we'd cut like a good 6 inches off the length of the jacket. And it ended up being like this really
great.
Cool
It looked awesome.
Yeah. It was a great shape, little bomber jacket.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to wear that come fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turned out amazing. We should also mention that Abby and I got to go. So we went and we sat up in the VIP section and we just like, I felt like it was a really like, it was a show like I've never seen.
No.
It felt very, we felt very like lucky to have been able to be part of it. And even just as spectators and,
yeah.
and, you know, allies and supporters of both fashion and the sort of movement that's happening.
Indigenous creativity and
yeah.
and, you know, but also on top of the fact that it was professional as a fuck.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like it was
Vivo not a half-ass.
We have been
around.
To shows that are a gong show. If there was a pig that would run through there, you'd be like, sure.
Yeah.
Whereas this, everything was, the venue was beautiful. The lighting, the timing, the organization, the seating, like the performers.
The
like
way
everything.
The catwalk was set up was really cool.
Everything
backstage
was
really well thought out.
Top shelf.
Like, yeah,
it was amazing.
So
and then
good.
On top of that, the like, the point of the evening, we haven't even talked about the red dress stuff. And the specifics of the red dress and how the sea of red that everybody was,
oh,
all
was
the
so
elders
beautiful.
That showed up and all their like regalia and all their stuff and all the cedar hats and the, it was a lot to take in. And like there was the whole, I'll let you explain. I don't want to take the red dress thing.
Okay. So.
And how that played into the evening and the hosting and the performances and things.
Well, the red dress movement was started by an activist in Winnipeg who started to hang red dresses as a symbol of solidarity and in remembrance of the missing and murdered women of Canada, Indigenous women of Canada. Basically, Indigenous women are disproportionately...
Insanely disproportionately.
Insanely disproportionately targeted as victims of violence and murder
and assault
and
sexual
assault.
And, yeah. violence
sexual assault and, sexual yeah. violence
just violent crime essentially.
Violent yeah. crime I don't know the statistics, so I won't get into them because I don't want to misquote, but
I think it's something like the population of Indigenous women in Canada is roughly about 5 or 6% of the population of Canada, and yet they represent something like 20% of the victims of violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, Adoy, those numbers don't add up. They're clearly targeted.
And there's multiple areas in this country where women just go missing and have for decades.
Yeah.
It's not a modern thing.
No.
Like,
Yeah. Decades.
Yeah.
Everybody, like the ladies who were hosting, like everybody knows mm-hmm. somebody who's been murdered or missing or assault or, you know, like it's crazy. So this red dress represented...
Yeah,
all those women.
It's a symbol of solidarity and of love and remembrance.
Acknowledgement and, yeah.
And there were men wearing red, like nice sharp red shirts. Like it was quite, it was quite amazing
quite
to see it. Yeah, it was very moving. It was very, there was a few times Abby and I were like,
get a little
do you have another?
Yeah.
Do you have a tissue? I just need one or two.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. Because like one of the hostesses was talking about how her aunt went missing in 1978, never been found. DNA was found on Picton's farm.
I was going to say, you know, victims of serial killers. Some of the worst serial killers in the world.
Yeah. Two, specifically, in BC, targeting Indigenous women. There was another, her cousin went missing. And all the white people I noticed, like all the white girls and white people in the audience, yourself and myself and
included.
Our friend Maddie included, were like... You know, quite touched. Like, yeah, I absolutely. Had tears streaming down my face.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the Native women were like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. You don't have to tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time.
You know?
We and have been for quite some time.
Yeah. So it felt like a really important thing to have been able to witness and to be invited to participate in as a spectator. And they closed... They opened the ceremony opened the show with a blessing and an eagle dance, excuse me, and they closed the ceremony with it was a warrior women's song. And the host was saying, you know, if anyone knows the song and wants to participate in singing, then please feel free. Like, we're happy to
join in. They got the drums out and
yeah, like all these women, like
stood
I think
up.
There was 10 or 12 women on the catwalk who started singing this song, and you know, half of them had drums and started, and then everyone so many in other people. The room mm-hmm. knew the song, like across different tribes and across different
ages,
families and ages and groups. Yeah. And the only people who didn't know it were like you and me, these dumb white girls.
The white folk.
The white folk. And I
was just standing back and watching this amazing, amazingly powerful
thing
happen.
It was so touching and so like just hit you right in the feels. Like it was something that was... Oh, this is
and it was sad but hopeful. Like it was a very strange mix of feelings. All the feels.
It was a really beautiful thing to see on a runway and to see as an artistic expression that mm-hmm. this is how a whole culture that lives in our
right there
and across our whole country, whole, I mean, all of North America, all over the world, mm-hmm. and. This is how their culture operates. And it was cool to be able to sort of take a step back from being a couple of dumb white girls who don't have to worry about a lot of shit.
Getting schooled
and being able to participate in something that felt very foreign and yet familiar and so beautiful. Like,
and
it was a really neat. And like
heartwarming,
funny, and like the hosts were really funny. Like there was a really welcoming environment that I was
native
like,
humor.
Oh, this shit is cool.
And then in the middle, there was like a modern, like there were some hip hop performers that came in, and some hip hop dancers that did a performance also related to murdered and missing women, and being like the lady who was singing the hook on the song, talking about, or she, I guess she was also rapping, talking about how like she wanted to like walk the streets and the alleyways, mm-hmm. and she wanted to be able to, you know.
Like, I want to be able to walk on the highway, walk in the street. Like, where are they gone? Like, where are they?
Yeah.
Where'd they go? Yeah, it was really something. And then I dropped my fan down three stories off the top of the fucking balcony like an idiot.
I just saw something fall and I was like, what the fuck was that? And then I see Katie look over the... over the railing, like, and be like,
oopsie.
Thankfully, it ended up like behind a bar, so we just kind of like
it didn't hit anybody. It didn't land on the runway.
Oh yes,
it could have landed on an elder two floors down or a model walking by. So it's stupid.
And it was there later. You got it back.
I got back. Fuck! You cannot take me out. I'm not a fancy lady.
You can take the girl out of the mountain.
We had to take our shoes off because we'd been standing for a while in these giant heels. So we had to kick those off. I was happy to take them off.
Yeah. And then it reminded me of there was this. Do you guys remember the old America's Funniest Home Videos with Bob Saget when mm-hmm. he was the host?
Yes.
Like way back in the 90s, there was this one of this little girl who was like maybe four or five or so, and she's doing this like ballerina dance for her family, and the dad's obviously filming this, and it's like in their living room, and she's got this big ballerina tutu, and in the middle of her little dance she farts like real loud and like everybody starts laughing. And she's like, no, don't laugh. She's like, ballerinas can fart too.
Oh. Like,
was mad that no one was taking her seriously. It was like a moment like that, like I was like, oh yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, there we go.
And that young girl grew up to be a fashion hag, I guess.
Oh, totally.
Anyway, it reminded me of that. Like, no, ballerinas can fart too. Yeah. I just dropped my
fan. It's part of my moves. Okay,
it's part of my charm.
Working into a show.
Don't worry about it.
Concentrate on the dancing.
Yeah. Guys, look at the dress. I made this dress. Forget about that band. I just threw three stories down the building. And then had to crawl over to get it up.
Oh, good times.
But it was so fun. And it was so great to see your show. It was so great to see all these other designers and the work that they have been doing. Dorothy Grant showed, which was amazing. I've never seen
the Order of Canada, which is like a huge big deal. And I'd heard her name, but...
Yeah, she's a
big
like,
deal.
Top tier.
Beautiful.
She's the OG of indigenous fashion.
Yeah, she really is.
And then there's you and Curtis Oland, who are like the new upcomers. And
oh, and the guy at the very, very start who designed
Derek Packer
designed this dress for his maybe 15 his or 16-year-old sister, like to honor the women in his family. And so he comes out and says, or, you know, she comes out and walks the whole runway and, like, is kind of awkward about it and is this really sweet little dress. And it has this little regalia on it.
She does a great job and it's got a little bit of beading on it.
Yeah, it's really pretty. It's really, like, it's nice, simple dress for, a 16-year-old. Like, it's really pretty. And then he comes down to, like, walk the runway as, like, the finale. And the kid's like 8 or 9 years old.
Owning it.
And killing it. And Abby and I are like, oh my God, it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. This kid is going so awesome. Oh my God. Like, it was so great. It was so, I was so stoked to see this. Like, I was like, that's weird to show only one look for a show. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm like, oh, he's like 9.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is amazing.
He, like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. It was so great. So
sorry, Evan.
Sorry, it's Evan. Yeah. Yeah, it's for his sister. He made it for his sister to, like, honor the women in his family. It's like, this kid.
Come on.
Too much.
Oh, so cute.
Amazing. So cute. Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. So congrats to Jolene.
Congrats.
Yes.
To the congrats whole team. To all the designers, all the models, to V, for sure.
All the production people.
Everybody who put it together, you guys did a spectacular job. Yeah,
getting a lot of media coverage too, which is lovely and wonderful. Hopefully that'll light some fires and open some checkbooks. And
yeah, that'd be nice.
It'll happen again next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would looking be great forward to see it again. It.
Hopefully Jolene doesn't hate it so much and never wants to do it again.
No, I think she's
rousing success.
I think we've all found our place because
we've all found each other.
Exactly. And like after doing so many fashion weeks where it all feels so rushed and superficial and ego driven and all these things, to go to
an unfinished and forced and contrived
and just like everyone is, all of these people
you're
are
in
there
it for yourself
different reasons and all these like egos of press and blah 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 and all that bullshit.
I'm on the list.
Yeah, it's like I wrote 9 articles about you in the past decade. Okay,
cool. The thing that was cool too about the like the seating, there wasn't tons and tons of seating. There was plenty of room to see the show, but there wasn't tons of seating,
actual chairs. Yeah,
and it was reserved for media and elders.
Yeah,
so I was like, no one in this room is going to argue about not getting a seat because those bitches better have some respect. Like in a room like this on the red dress night, no one is going to be,
you're not kicking an elder out of a chair.
Yeah. No one's going to be calling in favors and be like, well, I did a this and a that, whatever. I should have a seat. No, no.
I emailed so-and-so and she told me that I blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No.
So I thought that was like.
That was one of the moves to decolonize the fashion.
Good.
I like it. It was great. Show. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was cool.
Oh.
Yeah, and it looked fucking rad.
Yeah.
It looked amazing to see all these beautiful, awesome people in their regalia or their, you know, whatever they chose to wear that night, their red or whatever.
Oh, some amazing cedar woven hats all over the place.
Outstanding.
And it was cool. Very, very cool. So anyway, good show. Congratulations. Evan, you should be very proud.
I'm very proud
of all
of the people. I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but Maya Angelou has that concept, a rainbow in the clouds. It's like, even like, it's this, it comes from Genesis, but it was repositioned it from a gospel song, like an African-American spiritual, where like, when it looked like the sun wasn't going to shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the clouds. And that's like the symbol of even when things are being really dark and things, you never think anything's going to get better. There's things that happen to you
there.
Or there's people that can happen in your life that make it better. And 2 of them are in this room.
Aww.
Rainbows in the clouds.
Aww. Is it me?
And both. did I just see your phone is Shania and Drake?
It's always been like that for months, bitch.
Talk about two people who have come into your life.
Shania Twain, for me, was a rainbow in the clouds.
I just looked at it and I'm like, was that bearded guy? Okay, like, the lady in the baseball hat. And like, I'm like, I know for sure Shania the lady in the baseball hat is Shania. Shania is for sure.
She's wearing an Armani Exchange cap.
Ooh, nice. Oh, nice. She's getting an outlet.
She's given full meet and greet smile.
Yeah.
Like, you are paying for this photo. And then Drake is like,
he's super baked.
2 bong rips.
Yeah.
Bong rips it.
Yeah, yeah,
at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But and, fucking loving it.
Oh, he's like every like straight Canadian boy of that generation fucking loves Shania.
Living his best life.
He's getting his jush.
That's so great. That's who you were talking about, the two people in your room, right? It was Drake and Shania.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Or is it the picture of Wayne Gretzky in the fur coat?
There's also that.
And that weird little dude.
That's Casey.
Oh my God.
Isn't that Casey from Casey? Casey.
That's Sheila as a Swedish puppet.
And Sheila.
Aunt Sheila cut that out of like some fucking grocery store flyer years ago. And she says, hey, it's me. And it's been on our bulletin board ever since. I'll have to post a picture. She's got blue eyes and red hair. It's Sheila.
We're doing everything right here.
And she loves a scrapey top.
Absolutely. Sweater and skinnies. It's great.
Oh, boy.
On that note.
All right. It's time to get serious and get some obsessions happening.
Okay, let's take a quick
let's
break.
Obsess.
We'll be right back. We're back, you guys. Here I just blew my nose 40 times, so I should be good to go for 6.5 minutes.
There we
so
go.
Before it fills up again.
Oh, obsessions. I know we've been thinking about Evan's show, and Evan's been obsessing about his own show. And now there's room in his brain for other things. Let's start with you, sir. What do you got?
Is there room in your brain yet?
It would be great.
Not,
a little slow on the uptake, maybe.
Not really.
Is your obsession sleeping?
Actually.
And not sewing?
I was like, I'm going to take like a nice like 2 hour nap. 6 hours later, I wake up.
Nice.
On Saturday, and it was just like perfect. Oops. I had like half an hour to get ready to go to the last night. That's and I was just fine. Like rushing, but it was good.
So the insides of your eyelids, that's your new obsession.
I love a good sleep.
Mm. I mean, who doesn't? Mm-hmm. I slept most of the day.
Nice.
Yeah,
but honestly, my obsession is like all of those amazing people. I can't stop thinking sure. about all of these like little connections and all of these like things that were like floating in the ether, and they all kind of just came together on that day. I've like meeting Jolene a couple of years ago, and then like meeting Willow. Like during
I was gonna
my
say all the Willow stuff.
Show.
Yeah,
my second fashion show in Vancouver, and like all of these things.
And all your friends who model for you every year, and the new ones, like so, you know,
and all of those amazing girls that I've met through Jolene working with
stuff.
Jolene,
yeah.
And like hearing their stories and being a part of their like reconnecting with their indigenous like background and like having a hand in that, and like all like just.
And they're
the
at
grace.
Such a formative time of their life,
exactly.
too, right? Where these are important things for them.
Yeah, and like...
And relationships was, and experiences,
yeah, it
you
was
know?
So touching to see these girls walking with such pride.
And they did amazing... You wouldn't have known that these are, and, you know, this is the first time she's done it, or...
Exactly.
They're brand new to this. Awesome.
But, like, the last night of shows, Willow came off the stage, and someone had given her flowers, and she was going upstage, and she was, like, bawling her eyes out. She was with her mom and her aunt, and she was like, I'm just so proud of all of you. She's like, you guys did so good. Like, different moods. You got all of your pacing right, and you hit the poses. I just want to throw up all over myself, all the poses. She's like, and I, like, I saw her cry, and she was like, how? And I was like, we're all crying. We're all holding each other.
Yes.
Just, like covered in each other's tears. It was so nice.
Beautiful.
And like, I don't know, I've been connecting all these little dots in my head of like, what have I done to be in this space? Like all of these people throughout my entire life, whether directly or indirectly, who've helped me get to this spot
are here right now.
That's my
and
obsession.
Who knows what the future will bring, and
exactly.
who knows what connections you can forge from those things. You're gonna remember somebody in a year and say, hey, you know what, this would be perfect for that, or mm-hmm. you should talk to so-and-so, or, you know, like these are things that are priceless and irreplaceable, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, like me and Katie, who you're
like,
totally,
obviously,
totally.
I was gonna say also those hats. There were three. They were amazing.
Yeah, Dominique.
There was like
Hanke.
A little boater, and then there was like one that
like sexy slanty 40s.
It was like
one.
A slanted. Like, yeah, we looked at oof. Like all these amazing photos of like Dior hats.
Yes,
yeah,
from
absolutely.
Like the New Look collection, and that was kind of our inspiration. And then we did another one that was a bit more like
it was like a
prairie.
Cedar hat kind of still, because it had like this like a tubey top and then a brim.
We were looking at photos of hats that were worn during the Métis Rebellion.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
So like it was kind of like,
oh my God, the model who's all like, hey.
Oh, that was Eden. Yeah, he loved that
so
hat.
So great. You
his,
can
his
tell.
Vibe, his vibe is
you
so like
tell.
French provincial, like like fairy elf. So like
yeah. Sheila will know what I'm talking about, but it was full like fierce Snufkin vibes.
Oh, Snufkin, yes.
Moomin,
completely.
Who's like the like cool hobo guy who just loves nature and chilling.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking
like
about.
Like the green coat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and like the raw edge straw yes. hat.
And like just a cute little smile. At all times. Like,
a little mischievous little
yeah,
smile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's like part garden gnome.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But
so
like,
good.
But like
fierce.
In a fashion way.
Yeah. Garden gnome, but make it fashion.
Yeah.
So sorry, what was the name of the designer?
Dominique Hanke of Kind Mind Millinery. Just so amazing.
Outstanding.
Like the last two seasons she has worked, we've collaborated on hats, and she's just so fucking talented and like, like I
it's, we are, it's a flawless
collaboration.
Yes, the two fit so well together.
I feel like our design minds work very similar. Like yes. we don't even do sketches for the hats. We're like, okay, like we'll do it
this
and it'll kind of be like this, and then we'll just make it a bit, we'll tilt it that way, whatever.
It's like this but different.
Yeah, and that, then we're like it's like yeah, got it. And then I didn't see the hats until that morning.
And then she shows up,
and I didn't need to. Like they're exactly what we wanted, what was going to fit, and
there you go, boom.
And she's also just like such an amazing person to have backstage. She's just like a rock, honestly. Like there was like that moment where the lipstick was like hit the skirt, and she was like, "Okay, like what do we have? What can we patch it with something?"
There you
like
go. Solution.
We're like looking through all of the stuff I brought, and then I think we found the fusing and everything. But thank
amazing.
God,
amazing.
But quick sound off. Of course, Ashley and V, who are like the people I work with the closest within my brand, they deserve all of the recognition, all of the praise. Robin Bancroft Wilson, who was the producer of the fashion show, she's like the top-notch bitch of the game.
Was she calling the show?
She called the show.
Yeah, she did an amazing
full
job.
Production.
It was flawless. Yeah,
perfect. And Michael, who does the backstage wrangling of the models and who actually sends girls out and does all of that stuff. Jolene and Elena and their whole team, my assistants that I got and my interns from VCAD, Alicia and Kayla, my godsends, my children, all of the beautiful models. I can't remember all of your names. Let me try and think of the lineup. Lindsay, Montana, Ross, Eden, Trinity, Alicia, Willow, Jamin, Justin, my brother, I'm forgetting. Pernella.
Was there another guy? Who was in the bomber?
That was Montana.
Okay.
I believe his name is Braxton or Bracken. I really can't remember. That day was crazy. And Saffron. Beautiful. Just like wonderful.
Perfection.
Ugh. And all of the people who came.
Yay!
And especially two Métis elders, one who I'd never met before. Yvonne Chartrand, who is the director of the company I dance with, she came and she brought along a Métis elder named Eileen Laflamme, and she said the most amazing speech to all the models beforehand. She got very emotional I'm going to paraphrase real quick here, but she just said, like, do you not know that you are all the fulfillment of prophecy? It's like, what is happening right now is not a coincidence.
You are all here.
She's like, you have no idea how much pride I have seeing all of you beautiful indigenous people expressing your indigenous beauty. She's like, I grew up bleaching my hair and wanting to get rid of my brown eyes and my dark skin. And I wanted to look like all of the other girls for my entire life. And to see all of you young people within my lifetime being so proud and having this event. And then all of the models are crying.
Everyone's crying. Everybody's doing their makeup.
Yeah, the guy, like the backstage dudes on the walkie, like, we're going to need some touch-ups back here. Like, but it was so beautiful. And I really think that kind of set the tone for the show. And it really, like, it that's exactly what I wanted them to feel. I wanted them to feel their own indigenous beauty and really bring that out and really be themselves and not try and be what the fashion industry's idea of what it is that they should be.
Yeah.
Well, perfection.
It was, I mean, the best yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what are your obsessions?
Me, I'll go first.
Okay, go.
Okay. Real easy.
Oh, you saw somebody carry a watermelon a while back.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen a few people carrying watermelons. I saw a watermelon on the side of the road.
Oh
someone
much.
Dropped one.
Too much to carry.
Too many watermelons. I saw a guy carrying a really big one the other day. It pumped me up.
If you missed last summer, Katie's obsession was just watching people try to handle watermelons as
just
they're walking
struggling
around.
With watermelons. It's my favorite thing to see in the summer. I saw a lady carrying like two grocery bags and like a purse over her shoulder and also a watermelon in her hand. Beautiful. Not in a bag. Just and struggling so hard, like had to stop and like put it on
readjust.
Top of put it on top of one of those like newspaper boxes and like, take a break. I was like, yes, this is my favorite. I love it. Like,
you get the watermelon.
You struggle
home.
With that fucking watermelon. I love it. It's my favorite thing. So yes, that's been good. I've seen a few good ones this summer. But no, my obsession, I was not feeling great last week and my husband was out of town for work, so I powered through GLOW.
Oh yeah,
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, it's so,
isn't it so great?
It's just the
I love Alison Brie. She's so weird and so talented.
It's so committed.
She's totally fearless. there are women in that show, like the woman who plays, I can't remember what her name is, but the Machu Picchu.
Yes.
Is so fucking great.
Yeah.
The woman who plays Welfare Queen is so fucking great. So many weirdos and so many like super talented ladies. It's like an all lady show. And to see Marc Maron pull off a really great performance as well. Yeah. Like he's struggled for a while with his own shit and whatever, but he was
perfect
for that role.
Spot on.
I don't want to set any spoilers out, but it is so great. Just go and watch it and get out some leotards because you're going to want to wear them around your apartment. You're going to
want to do some cool moves.
It is so great. I watched it by myself and like I did a bunch of high kicks in my apartment.
I bet.
It was a great show. If you have not watched it, been sure. They're all like half hour episodes or so.
It's
like,
super totally easy reasonable. To watch. Like
the clothes, the styling is so great.
Outstanding.
It's a real gem. I highly recommend.
Yeah. And I watched the documentary too.
That's next on my list. Which is also
very, very exciting, very interesting.
Yeah. I'd like to see that one because it's, I think the series is like, took some liberties.
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's fictionalized, but not a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to see that too. But like even the guy who started the whole thing was like this schmoozy kind of douchebag.
Rich asshole. The robot. Oh my God.
But he's actually like, super likable and like he's like on board with all the girls and like wants
letting
to see them all
do what they want to do.
Yeah, it's so he has like this amazing room of costumes that he's like pumped to share with everybody. It's really good. The costumes alone are worth a watch. But yeah, it was a great show. Yeah. I'm excited for season two. I hope there is one.
Oh, there better be. Better figure what happens next.
Right. It was so good. Mm. Anyway, that was mine. It was a pretty easy one, but I was like, oh, I cannot. I watched the whole thing in like a day and a half.
For sure.
It was really good.
Next. Are you still watching? Fuck yeah, yeah.
It's not done yet. I'm not stopping until it's over. Anyway, it was fantastic.
Excellent.
Loved it.
Yeah. Thanks for going out of town, Chris.
Yeah. Also, if you want to watch it, I will
go
watch
right
it
ahead.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I watched one episode and I'm like, Dave, you'd like this, but also I'm not waiting for you. I'm watching it.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. You can watch it on your own time. Yeah. I'm not waiting for you.
How about you?
I have a real quick one and then a good one. My real quick one is that new Gucci campaign where it's all the sci-fi
people. Sci-fi?
And it's all like the old Star Trek, but it's like the new Gucci
and the
stuff.
Swamp Thing.
Cat and the door and the aliens.
It's so good.
So good.
It's... I love when shit like that happens where it's like
not taking itself too seriously,
but also the very specific mix of sci-fi and fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
like
yeah.
camp.
Yeah, totally.
Because you can be like all whatever the McQueen and Lantis show. And that's also sci-fi. But that's like intellectual
conceptual.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whereas this is like dumb.
Just
and
like pretty
silly
goofy.
And goofy and awesome. Oh, I've watched that. I posted it on my Facebook. If I didn't post it to the Facebook group, I will post it. I'll figure it out. But oh my God. And it's like 2 minutes long and it's amazing.
I haven't seen the video. I've just seen the images.
The video's amazing.
Okay, I'll watch the video.
It's great. But my other obsession is this new band. They're not that new. They're new to me. Called A Giant Dog. So first of all, yes, please. I'm totally on board just with the name.
You're like, what is it? I don't care. I'm in.
Sign me up. But they're like a punk alternative band out of Texas. And I think they have like 3 albums maybe, or the third one's coming out soon. But they have this one that came out last year called Pile.
A Giant Dog? Is that what it's called?
A Giant Dog is the name of the band. And there's a fucking super awesome lady singer and amazing bass lines. And it's like full on like rock and roll. It's... Dave is sick of listening to this album. Dave, I don't listen to music that much anymore. I stopped listening because podcasts kind of took over my life, as you do. And also, I've heard that after the age of 35, you stop listening to new music.
Yeah.
And you just listen to what you have. I'm like, sure, I'm going to listen to that Radiohead album again. So finding new music is exciting, but difficult, right? So...
Yeah, you got to put a bunch of time in.
Yeah, Dave read, I think it was on Pitchfork or something, and Dave read about it. And just started playing it at dinner one night, and immediately I'm like, "Oh, yes, what is this, lady singer, rock and roll? Yes, very much, amazing." And then I listened to two albums, one album twice,
today alone when I was doing some sewing. And then I listened to one and I was like, oh shit, this was on Girl Boss.
Oh.
Which was flawed. But the music was great.
The best thing about it was RuPaul.
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to see if I can get... Thanks for the ad. I don't need an A&W ad. I need this song. I want to show you a little clip here. This is the one from Girl Boss. It's amazing. This far in, I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm, yes, more please.
Ooh, it's a little bit No Doubt-y.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you want to do a smoky eye and like tease her hair.
She wears like rent a convertible and go on a road trip.
She wears hot pants on stage and stuff and like throws herself around.
Throw a chair through a window.
Yep, I'm in. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the songs are all like under 4 minutes, super fucking kick ass. They all like, it's amazing. It's great. A Giant Dog.
A Giant Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the album that came out last year, and then they have another album coming out, I think, in August. So I've heard two songs off, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep, sounds about right.
On board.
On board.
Hmm. That's good to know. I'm going to.
So exciting when I find music. Like, because Dave and I were talking about it. Music used to be a very big part of our life.
Yeah.
We went to so, like, we were very regular concert goers. We've seen, like, we've already seen all the people on our list that we've ever wanted to see.
Oh, really?
Essentially.
Wow. Yeah.
So, now what?
Yeah.
I'm glad we got it out of our system because we're all at home. We don't leave the home at our house after 6 p.m. I'm glad we got it out of our system. So trying to find new, exciting bands.
That's a good one.
Far between.
Yeah, it is hard to get. Excuse me. Oh, no.
Uh-oh, here it comes. Also, the new Haim album's pretty great. They just did a cover of Shania.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, their second
one. Love it.
It was great. The Haim album, new Feist album's pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
So this has motivated me, too, to find some other new music.
Yeah, I got to get in on it. I got to add some to my collection. It's a bit thin.
Yeah, lame. There you go. Yep. Anyway.
It's a good one. One giant dog?
A giant dog.
A giant dog. One big giant dog.
One big huge dog.
That big dog.
Clifford the Big Red Dog?
Sounds about right.
Okay, you guys.
Well, I think that's a wrap. I think that's all we got.
I should go home and go to sleep.
Katie's gotta go to bed, and we gotta get out of this hot room.
It's hot in here. I'm gonna go back to bed again today.
Sounds good.
For the fourth time today.
Rest up.
So
take some Tylenol and go to bed or something.
Oh, some NyQuil.
Ooh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Some freaky dreams happening tonight. A little bit of Dristan, a little bit of NyQuil.
Ooh, it's a party.
See you on Friday. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Please, check us out.
Check us out. Read the old website. Check out what we talked about, our obsessions. If you want to get a hold of us, that's a good place to do it. You can also find us at fashionhags@gmail.com if you have an idea for an episode or just want to say, hey, what's up? That's cool, too, because we really like that kind of shit.
Positive vibes only.
Yeah, we only want nice ones. We'll instantly put you into the junk mail if you're a B-word, so forget it.
And hold a grudge forever.
Forever.
I'm Scorpio. I can hold grudges like a motherfucker.
Also, Instagram, Fashion Hags Podcast, Twitter, Fashion Hags Pod, all the place. Just Google us. It's all fucking
We'll figure it out. There's only three hags. Yeah. Or Fashion Hags, at least.
Yeah.
Tag us in your shit on Instagram because we love that as well.
Yes, please. Find some cool stuff. Let us know.
Let us know. There's nothing I like more than when I go and check on our Instagram and someone's been like, hey, I bet you'd like this. And I'm like, you're fucking right, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's damn my favorite.
Straight.
So keep that coming.
Awesome.
And also remember that we love fashion, but
we love.
Oh, no, did I do it backwards?
You're sick. It's okay.
It's fine. Your brain's full of mashed potatoes. It's fine.
You guys do it.
We love you.
But we love fashion more.
There it is. Good night.
Bye. Bye.
Hey.